Hello, everybody. This is the Chocolate News Podcast. I'm your co-host, John Alexander Reese.
And I'm your co-host, Andrea Carter.
And if you did not know, the Cincinnati Herald has been around since 1955 and is the leading African American-owned newspaper in the greater Cincinnati area and Northern Kentucky area. How's it going, Andrea?
It's going great, John. I am enjoying this. I don't know what we have in terms of weather, but I'm enjoying that. And been working with my colleagues. We've been doing some, I work with the Urban League regarding the Community Partnering Center, and we've been doing outreach down at the government square to watch over our young people who need a little guidance in their behavior, just a little bit. And it has been very, even as a short-term response to an ongoing issue, we've had a heavy presence felt down there, and we keep getting asked, "You're going to be here every day?" Yes. Oh, so it's basically they're slowly learning you can't do certain things down there, and we're preventing them from fighting because they need to learn what respect is, and fighting over a slight or an escalated back and forth shouldn't cause you to break out into a fist over something, but again, you role models, what's missing young people education, and then also seeing the broader things, what are going on down there. As young people, they're focused on high school and their needs, and then the broader what else is going on, because there are other people observing them as they go down to Government Square. And we're having an impact, so it's being very successful. So I have everyone look at the news. We appeared before the Law and Public Safety Committee. I'm sorry, the Public Safety Committee, before City Council today. We're on the news, so we're having an impact. It's very positive, and I'll have to bring the Community Partner Center on to talk about what we're doing down there with Iris Rowley. So overall, it's going very well, but we're here today about chocolate news. So, I'm going to get started, and I think I'm going to start with two Black history moments. Nothing from our past, but they're Black history moments for today. And the I'm going to start with local. The first one is, I think everyone needs to check out the story about Cincinnati Fire Department's first Black fire captain, female fire captain, which I think is awesome. I think it's wonderful. Her name is Alexis Mundy, and she is an interesting young woman who, is just taking each day little by little and getting used to being called captain, getting used to, commanding leadership and things like that. So hats off to her. Congratulations on making history in the city of Cincinnati. It shouldn't be 2024 for the first Black female fire captain ever in the history of Cincinnati Fire Department, but we have it. She's got history. It's fantastic. Congratulations. Second, I think everyone is gonna love this. Beyonce has made history on the country music charts.
All right.
And during the Super Bowl, there was a commercial. She announced that she was going to, she cut a country music album, Renaissance 2, or Renaissance Part 2. And she released two songs, Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages, which because I've been so busy, I have yet to stop and listen to them, but I'm going to do it now and listen to them. And she made history. She is the first Black woman to sit atop the hot country music charts. Texas Hold'em was launches at number one, and then the 16 Carriages rose in at number nine, which we have a there are a lot of other Black men and women who are singing country music, but they have not been able to do what the pop R&B hip hop superstar has done on her debut on the Billboard's country music charts, which is unbelievable. If you look up the Hot Country Songs chart as of dated for this week, it's fantastic. I'm a slight country music fan. I like my Reba McEntire and a few others, and Darius Rucker is my number one. Former Hootie and Blowfish, Darius Rucker. He is a true country boy. But Beyonce, then Tracy Chapman, she won, has written original R&B song that country singer has covered, and it hit the top of the charts. And she won, I think she won a Grammy for writing that song.
I believe so.
And it's been number one. Luke Combs covered her classic Fast Car, which that used to be my anthem back in the 80s. Oh my God. Anyway, so there's that. So I'm looking forward to see what Beyonce does, and I can't wait to hear her full album. So congratulations to both of them for our top history mo Black history moments for today. That being said, we're going to get into the other chocolate news of the week. And I hate to do it, but I got to talk about, I can't even call him Mr. T. I'm going to have to say Trump.
No, that'd be disrespectful to the actual Mr. T.
I know
Oh,
I don't want to say 45 because, in a way you want to forget that he was ever president, but you can't do that. So, as you know, it's been all over the news that the judge ruled that in favor of the New York case against Trump, and the verdict ordered him to pay $354 million. Yes,
a
I
lot of
mean,
money.
it's a lot of money. And think about it. I mean, he's already on the hook for $5 million for Jean Carroll. Then he's on the hook for 80, was it 83, 86 million for Jean Carroll. Now it's $354 million. He has another fraud case that's going to trial, I think, at the end of the month or beginning of March, over what was that chick's name? Daniels. Michael Cohen with the jail for that case is going to start, so his legal bills are mounting, and the New York case ruled that he cannot operate a business, he cannot sit on a board, he can't do anything for 3 years in New York State. He can't run his own business, and they appointed another monitor with the other monitor to look to operate his business. Even his sons can't operate. For 2 years.
I didn't know. Oh, that affected his sons too. Okay,
Oh yeah,
so it's the whole Trump organization or
it's the whole
whatever.
Trump. It's Trump and his two sons, and the sons got fined too, but not as much as Trump did. But still, they all can't serve on any boards in the state of New York. They can live there, they can work there, but they can't run anything, and they can't make any decision for any business whatsoever.
That's bad.
It's bad. I'm like, ooh, that's bad. But what's interesting that's come out of this verdict, because Trump is upset, he's going to appeal. But even if he appeals, he still has to put up the money for the verdict. And if he can't, and if he doesn't have, and the reason why he's had to put up the money in escrow for the other cases is because no one will bond him. And he can't get loans because no one will loan him. That's the reason why he has foreign investors, because no one in the US will loan him money. So, and basically the Letitia James has said that if he cannot pay the verdict within the time frame while he's appealing, then she's going to start going to court to seize assets. So she might end up seizing Trump Tower to pay for what he owes.
Gotcha. Well, it's okay, 'cause he can get some of that legal money from those sneakers,
I'm sorry, but I wouldn't even buy those sneakers. Ooh, no.
Well,
Ooh.
they're selling out, apparently. I don't know who would buy those. I really don't.
They sold out, but you know what? They're pricey, they're ugly. But he's in trouble with those sneakers. I don't know if everyone heard about this, but those sneakers have a red bottom on them That's a patent violation because Louboutin holds the patent for having the red bottom on any shoe. I don't know what Louboutin's going to do, but they no shoe can have a red bottom only other than Louboutin.
Really?
Yes, and his shoes have a red bottom.
Huh.
And they can't.
Interesting. I did not know that.
And so I would not be surprised if Louboutin files a lawsuit against him to cease and desist putting red bottoms on his gym shoes.
Wow, that's
Because Louboutin is exclusive. I mean, they're like what, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 shoes. I mean, they're
wow.
pricey and they're exclusive for a minute, and they make limited edition shoes with, you know, with red bottoms. So that is something, unfortunately. So,
Wow, I that's crazy. I had no idea.
yes, it can you believe that? So,
Oh my
it's
God.
yes. So that another little tidbit. My sister told me that tidbit because she watches the fashion, and that came out and was like, ooh, because I just saw the gold, those gold shoes, and I was like, ooh, but I didn't see the bottom of the shoes until she told me. I went, oh, so but anyway, so enough about 45.
Yes.
But because of him, you know, the Super Tuesday's upon us, and that will be, I believe, March 19th is Super Tuesday.
Right.
And but here in Ohio, we participate in Super Tuesday, so Ohio's primary will be March 19th. But early voting for the March primary has begun today, and you'll be able to do early voting through March 17th to go to the Hamilton County Board of Elections to vote in Norwood. It's located in Norwood, but and basically, people are being urged to vote early. If you're not going to go to your, unless you wait to go to your local polling place, only because Norwood Lateral is going to shut down in March, and those who travel Norwood Lateral to get to the Board of Elections are going to have to learn a new way to get through the city because they won't be able to drive the Norwood Lateral to get off at the Montgomery Road exit. Yes,
Wow.
that is, I forgot when actually the Norwood Lateral was going to close, but it will be shut down before Super Tuesday.
Did you say how long it's gonna be shut down for? Did you say that, or how?
I don't, you know what? I don't remember how long the Norwood Lateral is going to be shut down, but you know what? I will have that information to remind everyone next week. But I just, you know, I saw it, I've seen stories on it, and I'm like, because they are, if you know, there's been a lot of road construction going on since we've had a very easy winter.
Yeah,
And
right.
so the prep work for Norwood Lateral has been happening. I mean, I love Norwood Lateral because it gets me from point A to point B very easily.
Yeah.
But and because if you think about it, Norwood Lateral, you can get to Paddock Road, Bond Hill, Montgomery Road, you can get to Oakley, you can get on to I-71 north and south, you can go to Ridge. All that's going to be closed. So everyone's going to have to learn the side streets to get to where you want to go.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that being said, it's an easy commute to get to the Board of Elections, but everyone gear up because you know it's going to be a long, I think it's going to be closed for 6 months, but I don't quote me on that.
Ooh.
But
Oh
I will
my
get,
goodness.
yes, oh, it's going to be a world of hurt for a lot of people. And you know 75's already backed up alone
Oh
on,
God.
especially on Fridays. Ooh.
Yes, it is.
So everyone who goes uses the Norwood Lateral to get onto 75, yeah, you're going to have to find a new way to go. So that being
Good to
said,
know. Good to know.
yes, so I will have that. I'm going to make a note and make sure I have that information for everyone next week, just to remind everyone what has been a go-to spot for everybody traveling from one side of the county to the other. Yeah, it's gonna, because I mean, if you think about Norwood Lateral, it's almost like Cross County, but not. It's a
Right.
short extension, but still it connects to a whole lot. So, that being said, but next up, an interesting article that is on the website is the is it this one? No, it's the wealth of the Black community that has seen an increase in through the Biden administration. And it's basically because of the economic recovery that America has experienced after COVID, the Black community's economic wealth has risen within the country as well. I mean, even you normally our unemployment rates are higher than the national average. Well, the national average unemployment rate, I think, is like what, 1 to 2%? It's very, it's, or I think it's like 4, it might even be 4%. Our unemployment rate is even low for us. And because of some things that were done to bring about racial justice and equity in America, Black Americans have seen an increase in their pocketbooks. And the increase in inflation didn't help a little bit, but overall, those of us who are working, we've seen an increase. And there are a number of things that we've experienced that it's sight unseen that we don't hear about, read about it. But on the Cincinnati Herald website, we have an article listing the accomplishments of this administration and what is done on behalf of the Black voter, which I think is significant for us. It's a wonderful there the this report is part of a political survey that was done where it's just one of those things of where Black people, we are in the driving seat of who will be the next president, where we'll spend our money, where we're putting our dollars. Do we support Black-owned businesses? Do we support other businesses? I think it's just very interesting of what's going on in the Black community today, because if it wasn't for this administration, we would be suffering unlike the past administration. But I would say check it out. There is a number of historic achievements. I'll read a few of them. Power to historic economic recovery that created 2.6 million jobs for Black workers, achieved both the lowest Black unemployment rate on record and the lowest gap between Black and white unemployment on record. Helped the Black working families build wealth. Black wealth is up by 60% relative to pre-pandemic, the largest increase on record. They have cut in half the number of Black children living in poverty in 2021 through the expanding the child tax credit, which has helped a number of families to get more money into their pocketbooks, reversing decades of infrastructure disinvestment, including the $4 billion to reconnect communities with that were previously cut off from economic opportunities. We're 4.5, I'm sorry, 5.5 million Black households are now connected to the internet through the Affordable Connectivity Program. That is helping out a number of socioeconomic family, low income families to get the internet because kids today need the internet to do their homework. And so they're helping with our education as well. More Black owned businesses are being created and sharing the wealth that way between 2019 and 2022. And we could go on and on and on. I would say the only drawback of the success of what they had is the lack of passage of the Freedom Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. I think that's something that we need to see done, but there are a number of areas that they have offered grants or improved the Gun Violence Act, safety, public safety, hiring police officers, things like that, that have helped the Black community. So that's a huge win and success for us under this administration that we haven't seen before. Now, the downturn of all of this, that even though we're seeing success economically, unfortunately, there is a new report out that talks about the homicide rate among Black women which shows that, how do I say this? The homicide rate for Black women is six times more. They are six times more likely to be murdered than white women.
Which is really alarming and disturbing.
It's alarming and disturbing, especially when you see Black successful Black women attacked because they're doing their job, like Letitia James, like Fannie Willis. Even though she made some dumb decisions, overall, she's a successful Black woman who has been threatened, who had to move out of her home and do some things that should not happen with other women in other in similar positions. But this report comes from based on a news analysis that was published in the Lancet Medical Journal, which is as one point serves an eye-popping reminder of Malcolm X's well-known observations on the struggles of Black women in America, what we endure. Now, even though Malcolm X said that over 60 years ago, it's still true today. Black women are still the most disrespected person in America. We're the most unprotected person in America. We're the most neglected person in America. And it compared to white women who are single or divorced, Black women top those polls as well for not being married, not being single, not being able to find a companion compared to other women. I think what is very interesting is in 2020, according to the report, the homicide rate among Black women was 11.6 per 100,000, a stark contrast to the rate of 3 per 100,000 among white women. Shockingly, this inequity has remained virtually unchanged since 1999, prompting concerns about the efficiency of ongoing efforts to address racial and structural inequities. And I think it's kind of sad, and it's affecting Black women between the age of 25 and 44 on average. And they point out a few states here and there. In Alaska, for example, Black women had three times the homicide rate of white women in between 1999 and 2003, and twice the homicide rate of white women in 2019 and 2020. Of the 30 states included in the analysis, eight states, Oklahoma, Missouri, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Florida, New Jersey, and North Carolina, and Texas, had no change in the disparity across the 20 years of inclusion. In six states, Indiana, Georgia, Maryland, Nevada, Alaska, and Virginia, the disparity decreased, with the largest decrease in Maryland, where the homicide rate among Black women was four times higher than among white women between 1999 and 2003, decreasing to two times higher in 2019 and 2020. And in 10 states where the disparity increased, those states included Arkansas, Kansas, Illinois, Kentucky, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Missouri, New York, South Carolina, and Wisconsin. It's a very interesting report. It's something that we need to take a look at and see, which is kind of sad. Basically, the crimes that affect Black women have been experienced stalking, physical and sexual violence. They've also, a lot of the homicides are partner related, basically through domestic violence, which is kind of sad. So we just have to take a look and educate our young people about what's going on out there, how to handle your anger, how to handle issues. And if you are in a threatening situation, speak up and say something so you can be protected. It's a
Yeah.
very interesting report, so I encourage everyone to jump on the website, take a look at it, read it, and like how we're doing with young people down in Government Square. I would say we need to stop and take a look at this and see how we can work with those programs in the city or in the region that help women fight violence against them, and go from there. So there's that. But I end the chocolate news on a high point. It's baseball season again.
Yay.
And I can't wait to see what the Reds are going to do. I know they're in spring training. It's hard to believe they're in spring training, even though we're not spring yet, but it's coming. I read the reports, it's coming, spring's coming. And I think they had a wonderful year last year. They were close, but no cigar, but they made it to the playoffs. So I think we want them to make them to the playoffs again this year and try and make it to the World Series. I have high hopes that I will be wearing Cincinnati Reds, throughout the season. I'm looking forward to it. There's some roster changes going on. A couple of former Cincinnati citizens are coming back to be on the team, and I just can't wait to see what's going to happen. I just can't wait. So that is my chocolate news for today.
All right. Thank you, Andrea. And that's it for today's show. I want to thank Andrea again for all the good chocolate news.
Yes, and like I said before, I will be looking for those stories that will be this stop and say, okay, and go from there. So.
And remember, folks, you can find more information about today's topics and past podcast episodes at www.cincinnatiherald.com, the Sesh newsletter, or on our social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Threads. And make sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast app. Our podcast is on Apple, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Amazon, YouTube, and Google Podcasts. And also, Saturday is our organization's daddy-daughter dinner dance. So, if you have tickets for it, I will be down there volunteering. So will Andrea. If you listen to the podcast, say hi. I'll be running around with a camera getting live footage for our social media.
Oh, I can't wait because the kids down there, they're gonna look so cute.
Yeah, most definitely. And we got 1,200 people this year, so it's gonna be busy, busy, busy.
Oh my God. Okay.
Anyway, I'm John Alexander
And
Reese.
I'm Andrea Carter.
And have a good day.